And good morning. A little bit of a change of pace because now you'll be listening to Spiritual Perspectives. I had to unscramble my brain for a moment. That's right. It's the fifth Friday of the month, and this is Spiritual Perspectives. We're glad to have you with here because we want to talk about real life from a, well, spiritual perspective. And as with every broadcast of Spiritual Perspective, you are invited to be a part of the conversation. We'd love to have you join in. The phone number in the studio is area code 415, because we're in San Francisco, 543, which spells kid, because we're childlike, not ish, and 8255, which spells talk, because that's what we do. 415-543-8255 if you want to join into the conversation. We're truly, truly about real life from that spiritual perspective, that innermost part of us that can recognize the opportunity to move forward rather than simply, we'll try and say, believe in the signals that we interpret from the real world around us, to instead dial back into that spiritual essence within us to allow ourselves to lift up and out of that smaller perspective of the conscious mind and move instead into that broader perspective, connecting with that universal wholeness. And so we have a very special guest with us this morning. Our guest this morning is Ron Mangelsdorf. Ron is actually based up in the little town of Palmer, Alaska, but he is a Christian Science practitioner from Palmer. It's just north of Anchorage. I've actually been to Palmer. He escaped from Chicago and made it to Palmer. And he and I have a unique thing in common for being spiritual practitioners, in that he has also an engineering degree. His from the University of Illinois, mine from the University of Washington U in San Francisco. He's been in Alaska for 32 years, where he's been able to pursue his love of the outdoors, hiking, camping, fishing, visiting friends, and so forth, and as well as the challenge of a marriage and three kids. As an active member of his Christian Science church, serving in a number of capacities, he's also included being assigned to D.C., where he worked with Congress on religious freedom issues. He's been devoting his full time to the spiritual practice, a healing practice of Christian Science. And what I want to talk to today, I want to talk with Ron because it's sort of a hot topic in the moment. I'd really like to talk to him about that concept of pressure and stress in terms of, because I don't believe that healing should be held back for a physical disease. In fact, I don't think healing should be reserved for physical disease at all. I think in a lot of cases, it makes a whole lot of sense to bring in those healing concepts long before the body moves into a state of physical disease. So Ron says that whether it's the pressure of work, the need for money, or challenges at home, few people are insulated from being stressed. Absolutely. For some of us, it's a daily burden. In fact, according to the American Psychological Association, 40% of Americans say they're troubled by stress, money, work, health concerns. In the UK, research suggests that 13 million working days are lost every day due to stress-related issues. So Ron wants to bring up the topic of, does prayer offer a way to come to grips with problems without being stressed? He quotes from the Bible, Jesus saying, "Come unto me, and all ye labor and are, excuse me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden, heavy laden, I will give you rest." So, everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Ron Mangelsdorf. Ron, this is everybody.
Good morning, Scott, and everybody else.
It's nice to have you with us.
Well, my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to visiting.
Are you guys an hour behind us in Palmer?
That's correct.
Oh, so we got you up early this morning.
Yeah, up and at 'em, so raring to go.
Fabulous. So folks tend to believe in stress as if it's just sort of like one of those things that one has to have, and that it's a reality of life, that simply, you know, things come up and stress is exactly how our bodies respond to it, as if that was the only natural response. And yet you're discussing the concepts of having things go on in life without, I'll say, clenching down in stress, but taking it from a slightly different direction. So let me allow you to sort of introduce people to what you're talking about there.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I really appreciate your opening comments talking about, you know, what really is life. And as we begin to explore that more deeply, it's, as you said, we discover that life is, you know, that precious gift that comes from God. And one of the things I appreciate about the creation of God and God's universe is I don't find anywhere where I have found that God ever created stress. It's not a part of his universe or his world.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, you know, the Bible does talk about how the way that God created man with dominion over the whole earth. And part of what I'd like to kind of address today is this idea that we do have dominion. And that's kind of a God-given quality so that we don't have to feel like we're just subject to stress or other problems, but there is something we can do about them and exercise a sense of dominion over them rather than allowing stress or other things to overwhelm us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a wonderful sense of just having that ability that God empowers us, God enables us to exercise that sense of dominion and really gain a sense of freedom over stress and not feeling like we're subject to it. You know, stress may present itself to us in many ways, but we don't have to give in to it or yield to it. We can stand up against it.
Now tell me what that means, because truly people think of stress as the normal response, just the same as, I was just reading an article today that horrified me. It said in some research recently, they'd done research among teenagers and found that 25%, a fourth of them, thought that it was normal and appropriate that a young boy might hit his girlfriend time to time. 25% of them believed that that level of rage was just normal. That's exactly how one does it. And clearly they're not having any tools on how to deal with that. They just think that it's normal that you rage and that's how you react to it. So I know there's a whole lot of the populace, you know, a whole lot of people think that stress is the only response to things that are being difficult, whether money's tight or job is tight or whatever, and that clenching down in our body would be the only normal response. And yet you're bringing in the option of a completely different response. So let's just say, let's create a scenario. Let's say that the car broke down, money's been tight already, this is going to be one extra expense. Now what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have found, and many others have found, and that prayer is always an option in our lives. You know, there's lots of ways to respond to things, lots of different choices that people have, lots of different approaches to problem solving. And I think it's important that we recognize that right there in the mix of all that is this ability we have to pray and to get closer to God. And I think that would be just very helpful in today's program, since that is kind of a spiritual perspective on how to deal with problems, to see that prayer is a very valid way, a very potent way of addressing a problem. So,
well, you've brought us into a question that I ask every single Spiritual Perspective program, Ron. What do you mean when you use that verb prayer or pray? What do you mean by the word prayer, or what do you mean by pray? What is that to you when you do that? Because I know that certainly some folks as a child were simply taught a rote repetition of a memorized set of phrases, which is certainly a real prayer. But what is it you mean when you're talking about pray? Because I'm certain it's not just, oh dear God, please help me out with my car.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, I think in a very simple way, prayer can be thought of as just a way of communicating with God, the way we speak to God, the way we talk with him, the way we draw close to him, the way we feel his presence in our lives. And for myself, part of that is based on what I've learned in the religion of Christian Science, that prayer is really an absolute faith that all things are possible to God. And once we have that strong sense that God can do all things and that with God anything is possible, it immediately has the effect of kind of calming our thought. So when we're in a situation, as you described, with the car breaking down and being without much money or in tight times, we don't have to be overwhelmed by that. We just immediately have this intuitive sense that there is a solution here. There's a possibility with God that an answer can be found that's going to meet the immediate need. And, you know, trying to think in terms of that all things are possible with God just wants to make us be so close to God, to get as close to him as possible, and just to begin to see things through the eyes of spirit, to see things the way God does. You know, I don't ever have a sense that God is overwhelmed by a problem. In fact, I came across something a couple of years ago that really stood out to me. The comment was, is your problem too big or your thinking too small?
Uh-huh.
And so once we can kind of get a grasp of that, the mental nature of these things, that we begin to see that no problem is too big. God is bigger than everything else. So a problem is not bigger than God, but God is able to meet every human need. And the real requirement is not so much to shrink the problem, but to really expand our thought, to really open our thought to possibilities and solutions we never even thought possible. And so in a situation like you're talking about, prayer may open the way for all kinds of possibilities of how that problem can be resolved. You know, you may come into some extra money you weren't expecting to, or you may know someone who is able to help you and fix your car and is happy to do so, and maybe in exchange for something else, or, you know, all kinds of possibilities occur when we are really opening our thought, expanding our thought, and growing our thought so that our mental power just becomes greater than the problem.
It is fascinating to, it's a very interesting thing when we're talking about drawing in, creating, releasing, having, accepting, receiving solutions. One of the things I've noticed is that which is spirit, or we'll simply use the word God, is a heck of a lot more creative than I am.
That's right. Yeah, the possibilities are infinite because of the infinite nature of God and his wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about how he knows our need even before we ask. So when we have, when a need presents itself, God has already provided for that. And we can just get so close to God that we can kind of be at one with him, and we begin to see and understand what God knows as well. And so it's, you know, some people call it inspiration, some call it divine revelation. It's just that sense that, you know, the answers don't come from our human ability or our human brain, but the answers come from a source of divine intelligence that is all-knowing, all-wise, and equal to every situation. You mentioned a while ago something that reminded me of something that I read recently in regards to stress. It talked about how stress requires an action, that we either fight it or flee from it. And I was kind of intrigued by that because I had never thought about stress requiring an action, but it really does. And we have to kind of, and it goes on to say that inaction, you know, can really cause for problems to occur as things start to mount up and overwhelm our thought and our well-being and sometimes even our health.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important when we're confronted with that thought of stress that we take some action. Either we address it and overcome it and exercise that sense of dominion, or perhaps wisdom will tell us you need to step back from this and go in a different direction and be freed from that. But you have to do something. And I think that's part of the problem, is people are kind of immobilized sometimes by stress because of the fears and anxiety that it creates. And they feel helpless. And what I think a spiritual perspective can help us to do is to begin to see that God is an ever-present help in trouble.
You know, that's a really key point that you just brought up, Ron, that if we go into that grip and that tightness of stress, we can end up immobilized by it, whereas there's a part of the front brain, the conscious brain, that thinks, well, no, I need to clamp down that stress on me so that I'll be motivated to find a solution, when in truth, that very clamping down can immobilize us rather than allow us to take that more expanded view to see the other options that might be being provided as an answer. I'm going to take just a half a second to identify our station. You are listening to KEST. I've been outside already this morning in the Bay Area and in San Francisco. It's a little bit cool and moist. The fog came in, so you'll want to layer up out in the suburbs. It's going to turn into summertime. But no matter where you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
They talk AM on 1450 just for you.
San Francisco.
Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. And you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This program this morning is brought to you by the Church of Christian Science. It's being sponsored and brought by the Church of Christian Science. And in fact, they're going to give you an additional gift if you would choose. We're going to give away 5 copies of Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture. So we're going to give away 5 copies of that book to the first 5 people that call in. The phone number in the station is 415-543-8255. You don't have to come up on the air. Just 415-543-8255. We'll get a name and address, and then those will be sent right out to you. That's the book and the basis that Ron has looked at in terms of the keys to the Scripture. And so we're very, very pleased to have Spiritual Perspectives sponsored by and brought to you by. I want to mention that you can look for the Christian Science reading rooms in your area, the concepts that we're talking about this morning that Ron and I are discussing. If you're finding they're touching and maybe you felt like you're sort of alone out there, that you've wondered about this, or you kind of had a sense about this already but thought you were the only one walking that path, when you see a Christian Science reading room, that's a place with tremendous amounts of resources to expand beyond that. And the associated Christian Science churches, even if you got burned by that word church earlier, this is kind of a different experience. I've pretty much been guaranteed that you won't be inundated with people demanding that you join or demanding that you agree with their point of view, so much as simply allowed to either be a part of the discussion or simply listen in. And there are services at the Christian Science churches around you. If you're looking for more of this thought process, that's a place to go explore that and have that available. And that's exactly why it's been sponsored to bring this program to you, to share these ideas and make that accessible. So, Ron, we were talking about stress actually locking people up so much that they find themselves immobilized, as compared to the, call it, infinite creativity of that which is God. When you study in Mary Baker Eddy's book, The Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture, what do you find? I know you've got one quote in here about that, but what do you find in terms of a basic concept about human beings either naturally being in a flawed condition, or is that not necessarily a required part of our nature?
Well, I think what I have learned is that there is a wonderful sense of how the divine encompasses and embraces the human. And so that there is a link in our lives, something that connects us with God. So as human beings, we're not on our own trying to solve all the world's problems or protect ourselves from all kinds of mental attacks or physical attacks or anything else, but really a sense of just feeling that those arms of divine love just embracing us, holding us close, keeping us close, that we kind of live and move and have our being right within God, and that we kind of abide under the shadow of his wing, just in a very safe and protected place, what the Bible calls that secret place of the Most High.
Ah.
And what I love about that is that it is a secret place where evil can't find us, can't touch us. It doesn't know where we are. And so that's what makes it safe, and that's our protection, knowing that this is where we really exist, under that wing of God. It's a very safe, protected place, and again, I think more than anything, just that sense that, you know, we're not alone as we walk our path in life, that God is right there at our side. He's up ahead of us, leading the way. He's watching our backside. He's supporting us from beneath and uplifting us above, and just this sense of really being right there within God rather than out of God. And, you know, what I observe about so much of human life is the tendency sometimes of the worldly way that would want to exclude and keep God out of the picture and have us think that God is no part of what's going on in our lives. That's the worldly approach to things that says, no, it's the worldly way that can do things and accomplish things. And I think most people have a sense that there's got to be something better than that. When we look at our world, we often see it's not a perfect world, and it's flawed, and I think that's kind of the nature of a worldly approach. It doesn't have the infinite intelligence and wisdom that God does. And so it makes sense to think, well, there must be a better way. You mentioned the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, and in there she talks about something better, something higher, something holier. And I find that sentiment felt by so many people that I know and work with and talk with, that they just have that intuitive, inherent feeling that there's got to be a better way. And I think what you're talking about and what I'm talking about is that way is, you know, kind of a spiritual approach that is different than the physical, different than the material, but that whole realm of spirit that goes so far beyond the limitations of human thought, to see that there is an immortal divine intelligence or divine mind, which is another name for God, that just is all-knowing and all-acting and all-seeing.
Perfect. And, Ron, I note that for quite some time now, you've been devoting full time to spiritual healing practices. I wonder, it's that interesting piece that when you've experienced it, you've experienced it. But I like it sometimes if we can share with our listeners stories or an anecdote where you've seen people shift their thinking and then experience a transformation in their life. We'll call it a healing story, and not necessarily, again, as I like to point out, healing should not be reserved for disease in any stretch of the imagination. So not necessarily a physical healing, but not to rule that out. But I wonder if there's any story that comes to mind that you could share with the listeners where you've watched perhaps one of the people that you've worked with as a practitioner, where you've watched them make a change of thought or a change of mind and have a physical life healing transformation out of that.
Yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. I guess one that kind of comes right to thought was recently a student who called on me who was just feeling very whelmed by their school load and their study load and other activities they were involved in, and just really struggling to kind of keep their head above water and just feeling very stressed about the amount of work and the demands of the schedule. And even though they were working very hard and were getting good grades, there was always a sense of stress that somehow if they didn't keep working as hard as they could and keep right on top of things, that they would fail and not succeed in what they were trying to do. And at times just feeling so overwhelmed, just calling in tears. And as we kind of worked and prayed together, it was wonderful to see just what you were talking about, that transformation that comes over human thought that begins to shift the very basis of how we think from one of fear to one of confidence. And to see that as a result of prayerful thoughts and ideas we shared together, there was this shift taking place where they became more confident, not in their own abilities, but in knowing that God was really the source of her intelligence, and it's God that enables us and empowers us and allows us to accomplish whatever we need to do, and it can be done in a very harmonious way. It doesn't have to be stressful, and we always have that option of you know, if we're going to give in to that concept or that notion that things have to be so stressful all the time. We don't have to be anxious, and we can make other choices in life. One of the ideas we worked with was a verse from the Christian Science hymnal, and it's just a short line that says, "Henceforth, my great concern shall be to love and praise thee more." And she found that very helpful into seeing that that was the thing she wanted to be most concerned about. And it really was her greatest concern of all, was how could she love and praise God more? Because she did have a great love for God and really appreciated his greatness and wanted to praise that. And when she began to realize that that was the thing that most concerned her, she began to really make an effort on a daily basis to love and praise God more. And the more she did that, the more she saw all these stress and strains and pressure just begin to fade away. She became so confident in her love of God and her trust in God, her faith in God, that it just enabled her to just overcome all that sense of feeling pressured. And it just, over a period of several months, it just all dissolved. And it was quite a breakthrough that just that one idea of understanding what it is we're most concerned about. Because, again, the worldly perspective would be that there's lots of things to worry about and be concerned about and stressed about. And she was beginning to learn that there really is only one thing that is our greatest concern. And when we address that first, everything else just kind of fades in the background, very similar to the Bible verse that talks about seeking the kingdom of God first, and all things shall be added unto it. Whenever we put God first in our lives, there's just a wonderful way that everything else just kind of falls right into place, not in a stressful way, but in a very harmonious way.
Perfect. What a fabulous aha.
Uh-huh.
So we've mentioned Mary Baker Eddy's book, and we have one more copy, actually, that we can give away. So if somebody would like that, it's 415-543-8255, 415-543-8255. But we mentioned Mary Baker Eddy's book, and sometimes perhaps people think of various self-help books as just somebody talking off the top of their head. But in this particular case, there was a specific reason she used the word science and health as she developed this book. So where did Mary Baker Eddy get the sense that what she was doing actually worked?
From her own life experiences. She spent the first half of her life really exploring all kinds of different ways to address the problems of life. She always struggled with health issues most of her, or the first half of her life, and was looking for cures and explored all sorts of things. And through that, she just gained lots of experience, but one in particular was when she had slipped and fallen and received a severe injury that was really threatening her life, and she wasn't expected to live. And she had always been a very religious person, and from her bed, she asked for her Bible. And she read one of the healing accounts that Jesus performed. It's written about in the New Testament. And just experienced an instantaneous healing, that all of the physical effects that she was having just disappeared. She was able to rise up and walk out of the room and just kind of go on in a very normal, healed fashion. But that really captured her thought, and she wanted to know and understand, you know, what she had experienced. And so she spent about 3 years just really studying the Bible and kind of withdrawing from everything else and trying to learn if there was some sort of rule or perhaps, you know, a scientific approach to healing. And using Jesus' example as a basis, that it became the science of Christianity. She began to see that there are laws of God that anyone can put into practice and apply in any situation and get, you know, get results. It's no different than any other science. When you apply the laws correctly, you can pretty much guarantee the results. And she discovered that This was true about spiritual healing as well. It wasn't just a special gift that Jesus had, but he taught his disciples how to do it, and they taught others how to do it, and she began to see that this is something that we can learn because it is a science. It's based on the laws of God. It's based on divine principles. And when she began to master that idea and was able to heal others based on her discovery of that, a doctor one time told her that she really needed to write all this out in a book.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what got her going to try to explain it, and that kind of turned into the book Science and Health.
So I like that you phrased it that there are laws of God that can be specifically applied, and that she did this literally as a research. In your own practice as a practitioner using and applying these laws, do you see it working, Ron? Do you see it work occasionally? Do you see it work one time out of 1,000? What do you see actually goes on for the people that come to you as a practitioner? And between you and the client, you then apply these laws of God.
Well, I see it happen on a daily basis, all the time. And that's what's so exciting about the practice of Christian Science and being a Christian Science practitioner, or anyone who's really doing that healing work. We can see results, and we do see results. And you know, not only my own experience, but this is something that has been going on within my own family for 5 generations.
Wow.
So it's not a new thing for me, and it seems like the most natural thing just because I'm just so familiar with it and have seen it my whole life. And so I think what really proves it for me is that it is something, it is a demonstrable science. And it's not just a textbook theory, but it's the healing that really verifies the theology. And if we couldn't prove it, if we couldn't heal things, you know, then it would be nothing more than a theory, a nice-sounding theory. But the fact that Jesus demonstrated healing and healed countless, you know, there's tens of thousands of recorded, verified healings through prayer in some of the Christian Science literature, as you look back over 100 years. So it's something that's been going on for a long time, and you know, I really have a feeling at some point, and I think we're starting to see glimpses of that, that people are starting to take note that this is a possibility, that healing through prayer certainly is possible. And, you know, like I said, there is this established record of thousands and thousands of healings, as well as those in the Bible. And at some point, I think society is no longer going to be able to ignore that there is this record of healing that is very reliable, very dependable. It's something that anyone can learn to do.
You know, that's an interesting point, because I note in the notes about you that you spent some time in Washington, D.C., interacting with Congress about religious freedom. And there's a bit of a challenge there, I note, in terms of, well, I find I'm a little horrified that they've been able to sue people for deciding and choosing their own version of medical treatment, and then make it a law that they had to apply certain medical treatments or even certain inoculations or vaccines or stuff. What did you find in terms of working with Congress itself in terms of a support for what I would call a genuine spiritual religious freedom?
Well, we did find great receptivity, and but it really was an educational effort. Just about everyone we would talk to had perhaps heard of Christian Science or had heard of other means of spiritual healing, but really weren't that familiar with it, or they had heard of some horror stories of where it hadn't worked and were concerned about kind of enabling that through laws or legislation. But it really did require that kind of an educational effort to go around, and we made an effort to talk to every member of Congress.
Wow.
All 532, either talking to them directly or through their staff, and just trying to get our story out. And it was kind of a slow, long process, but very effective, I thought, and still feel that there is this sense that a greater understanding and recognition, and one of the things that we encountered was initially, I think everyone really embraces the concept of religious freedom and recognize that it's part of our Constitution and want to accommodate that. And they would, members of Congress would tell us that it used to be quite simple. Years ago, there's maybe three or four mainstream religions in the U.S., but things have changed so much. We've become such a diverse society nowadays that it isn't just being able to put an accommodation in for a certain group, but now there's just hundreds of different faiths and religions, and and trying to accommodate all of them, it just becomes a challenge. It's not that they don't want to. They want to be able to do it, but it's almost overwhelming. Now, how do you try to accommodate everyone and all the diversity we have in this country? And so it is a challenge. It is an interesting process. And I think what's really going to make the difference is not so much any actions of Congress, but just kind of that grassroots effort as more and more individuals start to turn to and embrace other means of healing, such as spiritual healing. It's going to kind of force, I think, our society to look at things in a different way and start to make those accommodations. And, you mentioned some of these mandatory health care bills and that sort of thing, and we really do need to make a conscious effort of really maintaining that freedom of choice so that people do have the ability and the right to choose the method of health care that they think is going to best meet their needs, rather than having, just one mandated. Kind of a medical approach is one way of doing it, but it's not the only way. And many, many people have found, studies I've read, up to 70% of the population in the U.S. have sought out some sort of alternative healing method than the traditional medical one. So it's going to take a lot of educating, I think, and a lot of kind of fighting for our rights and maintaining that sense of freedom so that we do have that ability to make those choices.
Perfect. So in raising three kids, I'm looping back around to the concept of stress. In raising three kids, even in a household that's connecting up spiritually all the time, I figure kids are still kids. There have to have been those points in time where there was stress within the family. So just if you were to draw on your experience, and if you were talking with a client and they were talking about getting sort of like their kids getting under their skin or pushing their buttons, what would you want to bring forward in terms of creating a healing, call it atmosphere, to where they could expand out rather than clench down on that stressed aspect? What would you be bringing forward if we were doing that? If we pretended that right now we have, let's say, several thousand parents who have children, some of whom are under their skin today. If you were coaching them as a group, what might you bring forward to allow them to have that aha, that shift that allows healing?
Well, I would think, just trying to get back to the very basis of creation, starting right with the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, where it talks about how God created man in his own image and likeness. And if we think of individuals or children as the likeness of God or the reflection of God or the image of God, we wouldn't see in that reflection of God all these annoying habits or actions that would want to creep into a child's experience.
So really fully take our focus into that little being, or maybe not little, in some case the kid's bigger than us, really take our focus into that being a portion of God, a reflection of God, so that we first step would be take our focus off the rah, 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 and shift it back into they're an expression of God, but perhaps their actions at the moment don't seem to reflect God all that deeply.
That's right. And one thing that I've found to be very effective that I've learned from others is the difference between reacting and responding. And if we're simply just reacting to every little thing that goes on, it often doesn't work out very well. It just kind of perpetuates the problem. But if we don't react, if we can find a way to remain calm and keep a sense of peace and really have that really heartfelt desire that wants to reach out and respond in a way that's going to be constructive, in a way that's going to be supportive and loving and helpful to our children, it can make all the difference. A loving response is so much better than an initial reaction.
That's a fabulous distinction. I want to repeat that because I love that a lot. The difference between reacting and responding. Let's expand out on that a little bit. I mean, let's really give people a sense of, okay, let's just make up an easy story. Curfew was 11 o'clock and it's now 11:20, and here they come strolling happily through the door as if, how dare I have any distinction about this particular small drift of time.
Mm-hmm.
Reacting would be,
okay, you're grounded. You're not going to go out for a couple of weeks or something. It might be a reactionary comment.
Yeah, or just even rawr.
Yeah. Where have you been? Why haven't you called? Don't you know you're supposed to be home? And all those types of things, which people usually go right on the defensive then and want to defend their actions or get their point out why they don't feel like they need to abide by that. And it just kind of turns into an argument or...
Yep, everybody knows how that one plays out, although isn't it interesting, and although I borrow very little from him, I'll borrow from Dr. Phil of, how's that working for you?
Yeah, yeah. And most people would agree that it just doesn't work. There's
and it never
a
does.
Way.
Never has, never does, never will, generation after generation. So if that's reacting, give me a sense now of responding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of it is... You know, if there's a basis that has already been established in a home, that this is a home where we respect each other and love each other and support each other and kind of all recognize that we're living together and we want to do so in a harmonious way and that we're not just independent, but the things we do have an effect on the rest of the family and the home environment. And so if possible, if initially... we can be training our children in a way that they just have a sense that they want to do the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And that they find pleasure in doing the right thing. We have found in our own family that once the kids understood that and realized that, that really just they had no desire to get in trouble or do something wrong because it just didn't make them feel good.
But you know, that's a really key point. If it's not a win or lose, if it's not a you won, I lose, I'm demanding, you're controlled, I get to be in control, I'm in charge, if it actually is a, hey, dial into how this feels to you, there's a tremendous amount of feedback just in that it, once you know what feels on track, there's a tremendous amount of feedback to feeling off track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so I think if they have that feeling, you know, when they do come in late, it's just an opportunity to kind of remind them of, you know, some of what is the basis of, you know, how they've been raised, and you know, let's not lose track of that, and let's kind of stay focused here on, you know, why we do things the way we do, and there is a reason for it, and a lot of times, you know, they just respond in a very, very good way that recognizes and acknowledges that, you know, maybe they slipped up and that wasn't their intent, but they do have that desire to do the right thing and to be obedient, and they have learned that obedience to good is much more preferable than having to deal with discipline or anything else.
Well, that's an interesting phrase. Obedience to good is much preferable to having to conform to discipline. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways that you can discipline a child. You know, you can punish them and ground them or any number of things, take away some of their privileges, or you can teach them to love, to do the right thing, and that and then they'll just choose to do what's right because that feels so much better.
Fabulous. We're going to take a brief moment, Ron, just to give a quick identification of the station, but we'll be right back. And when we come back, the next piece I want to do is We're talking about releasing stress by coming back into that, basically coming back into that communion or union with God. So when we come back, I'm going to ask about if I were a parent and feeling like I was at the end of my rope and couldn't come up with any options, how might I approach opening up the options? But I want to let everybody know I've been outside in the Bay Area already. In the city, it's a little moist. The fog did come in, so you'll want your layers. Out in suburbs, it's going to be summer. But all of that goes together to make it an absolutely perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.
Talk AM on 1450 just for you.
San Francisco.
Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. And you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives. It's the fifth Friday of the month, and we bring this to you every single time that that happens. If you want to join in the conversation, the number here in the studio is 415-543-8255. 415-543-8255. I want to thank the First Church of Christ Scientists of Mill Valley for sponsoring the program and bringing Ron to us this morning. We're talking with Ron Mangelsdorf this morning. They've brought him to us, as well as having donated those five copies of Mary Baker Eddy's book, Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture. I do want to let you know that we've completed all of those that we're going to give away today, so thank you very much for joining right into the program there. But if you have a question or comment that you'd like to add into the conversation, we'd love to have you join in. As with every time, we're just simply talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. And so, Ron, as we broke away, what struck me is we're talking about that infinite creativity of the infinite source, which in English, the only word we have for it is God. But what I'd like to do is add into the conversation, we have a caller right now that wants to jump in. This is Patricia. Good morning, Patricia. You're live on the air with Scout, and more importantly, you're live with Ron Mangelsdorf.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I actually prayed to have the Christian Scientist on.
Fabulous.
I totally love this perspective. It saved me when I was having eye surgery, and just I've been slowly coming to understand more deeply what it's about. But I'm in the middle of some serious stress right now myself. My mother's been quite ill, and finances and one thing after another. And so I find myself feeling kind of weepy, and I actually need help.
Perfect. Well, Patricia, how would you feel about it? And I haven't checked this with Ron, so I'll check with Ron too. If Ron is a practitioner, he works with individual clients. Ron, would this be something that might be appropriate to let other people listen to how this process might work in a small fragment? I mean, clearly we can't do an extended piece of work, but would this be an appropriate thing to let our listeners sort of hear how this process can work for you and Patricia to talk together for only a moment?
Sure, that'd be fine with me if it's okay with Patricia.
Oh, absolutely. I've never talked with the practitioner, and I've been quite curious myself how this process
perfect.
Works.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Well, I think just in starters, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the program, this idea that an absolute faith that with God all things are possible, which is a line from Science and Health that Mary Baker Eddy wrote, but just starting from that premise that there is a solution, there is a possible outcome here that can be applied to your particular situation, and it begins with knowing just that allness and powerfulness of God. One of the definitions of stress includes the idea of forces from the outside world imposing on the individual. And I've thought a lot about that, and just trying to compare, you know, these forces of the outside world and how it would want to impose upon our thought, and is that the only thing going on? Is this imposition of the outside world, or is there something that goes on within us that can counter those worldly influences? And when I think about that, I think of Jesus' statement, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And I do believe that that's something that is a part of all of our experiences, that, you know, heaven and harmony and a sense of peace and calm is not something outside of our experience that we have to go out and seek and find and embrace, but it's something that's right there within us. The answers, the peace, the harmony are within us. So then we have this conflict. You know, which is going to win out? Which is more powerful? That inner peace that we have, or that outside worldly imposition? And I have found that it's that inner peace, it's that still small voice of truth that can be heard over everything else that reassures us that there is a God, and that it is a God of love who loves us and cares for us, provides for us, guides us, helps us, heals us, sustains us, just a very powerful influence in our life.
Ron, I'm going to jump in for a second. In your experience, as you've worked with this and as you've worked with these laws of science that Mary Baker Eddy put together in Science and Health and Keys for the Scripture, do you get an image of God as some dude sitting in a big chair a long way away that just sort of spit us onto the earth and now we're on our own?
No, not at all. My sense of God is so infinite. It just includes all space. It's not that God is somewhere. It's God is everywhere. Just completely surrounding us, and that we kind of live and move and have our being right within God, that we're not outside that love of God. We're not separated from the love of God, but we're right at one with it. And so, in a way, as we talked about earlier, it just really does empower us and enable us to feel like we can exercise a sense of dominion. We don't have to give in to the problems of the day.
I know that. In one of my other conversations, there was just a wonderful phrase that he brought out, which was, if you're feeling far away from God, who moved?
That's right. Yeah, and it wasn't God. You know, God is just a constant, ever-present force. You know, God is life itself. God is love itself. God is a spirit. God is not a person in a faraway place. But it's just that spirit of truth and love that just pervades the atmosphere of our thought. It's that intuition that we feel within us that just really has a faith and trust in God.
So, Patricia, I'll ask you a question. We'll put you on the spot for only a moment. What are you noticing you're feeling as you're listening to Ron's, I'll say, complete knowledge or knowingness or conviction of the truth of what he's talking about? What do you notice is going on in terms of how your body is feeling and the levels of that tension that goes with, quote, stress, close quote?
Well, I'm finding myself trying to find that deeper faith that I understood when I was having the other problem that I got through, that God is my sustainer. Not only now, but for all eternity, and then go into gratitude. But it's like there's another spot within myself that's like fighting back, that wants to go, I guess, in a downward spiral. So it's like I've got this like battle going on right now of part of me saying, come on, kick in this faith, girl. And another part that's like going, I don't know how to explain. It's like, I just want to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it just goes dark, 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 dark. And I'm like, I don't want to go that way. So I've got a battle going on right now.
Yeah, and it's a healthy battle. It's a good battle. It's a struggle for truth. It's the one we all have to fight on a daily basis, fighting the good fight. We just want to have that sense that we'll never give up. That's one of the descriptions that people use about Mary Baker Eddy in her own life. She was just an individual who never gave up, never stopped trying, never stopped fighting. And, you know, that's what we need in this day and age. And just to know that in the end, it's always good that prevails. It's always God that wins out. It's always love that conquers hate. It's always life that overcomes death. And so we just want to feel like we can fight the good fight. We can hang in there. We can be tough, mentally tough, and spiritually tough. And we need to be, and we have to be. And the beauty of it all is that everything that is required in that sense of being strong comes right from God. He's supplying it, and as you mentioned, sustaining us on a daily basis, giving us the strength we need.
There's a place where it reminds me, and I'll sort of be paraphrasing, but it's from Richard Bach in his book Illusions. And one of his comments is, learning is remembering what we always knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's another question I came across some time ago that just stood out to me. It asked the question, is our faith so small that we're afraid to have it tested? And, you know, we all have trials and tribulations in our life, and that doesn't have to overwhelm us. It may be a trial of our faith, but our faith isn't that small that we're afraid anytime it's tested. We have a great faith and trust in God, and because it is not small, it's great. No, it can withstand whatever test comes along.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us. Patricia, was there another portion you wanted to add to that?
Oh, just I feel a lot better. Thank you so much. Reminding me of faith, and that's where I have to put my focus. And just God is my sustainer. And yes, these things are tests. I do agree. Thank you so much.
It's always good to pass them, too.
I think I might get a B+. I'm hoping for A-.
Perfect.
Okay.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Patricia.
I appreciate it.
Thank
you so much.
So, Ron, we've got just a minute or so here. So in 1 minute, what would you want to remind people in terms of their choice about whether they'd like to clamp down in stress or remember their other options?
Well, one thing that I've always worked with is a passage from the Bible that says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many." It brings in that sense of dominion. And I've kind of changed that around a little bit for myself to say, that we should be faithful over a few things rather than stressed out over many. And I find that, to me, that's something that's doable. You know, rather than being overwhelmed by all that's stressing us, it is possible to be faithful over a few things. There's a few things we can do on a daily basis that really does make us ruler over the bigger things. And if we're faithful in doing the little things, the simple things, it really does give us that dominion and power that enables us to overcome the bigger things as they come along.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Our special guest this morning has been Ron Mangelsdorf, and I want to thank again the members of the First Church of Christ Scientists Mill Valley for sponsoring and bringing Ron to talk with us today, and remind you that if these thoughts have made sense to you, check out a reading room near you for the First Church of Christ Scientists. There are speeches, lectures, and services. You can find them on the web. Meanwhile, I want to remind you that this has been Spiritual Perspectives. This is Scout Bartlett. Just saying right out there that today's a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.
Whether I'm at home or